Hello there! This show contains material which a truly free society would neither fear nor suppress. The language and concepts contained herein will not cause eternal torment in the place where the guy with the horns and pointed stick conducts his business.
Dude, man, what's going on?
Well, hello.
What are you, Art Fern from The Tonight Show?
Art Fern?
He was that sort of movie guy. He would host the movie show, and there'd always be the big busted blondes
who
would be
that's
on there
right.
with him, and he'd be like, hello there.
And he's like the checkered suit.
Yeah, and he's got like a, you know, you get out, and you drive to the Slauson cutoff, and you get out of the car, and you cut off your Slauson. You know, it's just all that really sort of silly sort of Johnny Carson humor. Yeah, it requires a rim shot. And now we return to our main film, you know, and he just does, he names a bunch of ridiculous names, and I don't know, it was kind of funny, I thought.
I think I remember the Art Fern. I didn't remember his name was Art Fern.
I think that was his name, and the blonde who was on that show in the 80s, The Duck Factory or whatever, it was sort of Jim Carrey was on it, a very young
Duck
Jim
Factory.
Yeah, it was a sitcom about an animation studio.
Oh, yeah, I remember
that.
And
the blonde woman who was on that show was one of the buxom blondes that would be standing around in a bikini while he was doing all this.
Wasn't Harry Anderson on that show, too?
He might have been. I don't recall quite that well, but I did have a strange memory experience the other day.
You remembered that you were someone else?
Speaking of strange memory experiences, where did the copy of the film, the thing you printed for me, go?
I don't know. Probably where you put it. It's right over there.
Ah, okay. Say something. I have to get the thing.
Well, speaking of Rich being very observant about these little details, he just totally missed something for like a month or two or three.
I don't think it... I think what John's about to tell you is a lie.
It is not a lie. I went to Vegas. I remember speaking about going to Vegas on the show even. I went to Vegas, came back from Vegas, and when I was in Vegas, something stayed in Vegas.
What?
All of my facial hair.
Well, everything should have stayed in Vegas, according to their commercials. I mean, you know, hopefully you, ate any food, you evacuated it before, you know, before you got on the plane.
That's right. All of my money stayed in Vegas as well. No, my facial hair. I was bored. I was in the hotel room. I was bored, and I didn't feel like going out gambling. So I was watching TV, and I said, you know, I've been wearing this thing for a long time. So I shaved off the goatee thing.
I may be shaving mine off come Halloween.
Oh, you've got one? Yeah. So this is months and months and months. Years I've been wearing this thing. And months and months and months go by after shaving it. Rich comes by today and said, so where'd the facial hair go? It's like delayed reaction by half a year.
No, it's really not. It's just that John has such a thin peach fuzz like beard. It was really hard to notice that you know, when he's wearing it and when he's not.
You haven't seen the pictures.
What does that mean?
No, oh, I you're have talking seen, about something else.
I have seen the pictures, and believe me, I can bribe you. Ba-dum-bum.
We do need a rim shot sound effect every once in a while.
I thought we had one.
We might, but I don't have it on here.
Oh, okay. So what else has been going on? You know,
we're back in action, though.
Yeah, we missed a week, and then we were live, and then we missed a week or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
But in the meantime, I've been taking some of John's film advice from his top 20 list, and I had seen both of these films a long time ago. But I remembered so little about them, and now they've been remastered, and they're much better prints than they were probably in the 80s when I saw them the first time. And I saw a couple of bogey films, a little Humphrey Bogart, Sweetheart, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, I thought you were talking about bogey films like Tom Cruise flying airplanes, getting chased by bogeys. No, that was Star Wars.
Yeah, no, Red 5.
Gold Leader.
Gold Leader to Blue Leader. Pull up, pull up.
So, bogey films, would you
yeah,
see?
Yeah, anyway, I saw Casablanca, and I saw The Maltese Falcon, and John's top 20 list, I think The Maltese Falcon made it in, even though he made an error and said it was from 1931, and the bogey version was actually from 1941.
It was one of those deals where, you know, 31, 41, it was,
what's
a,
the
it was
difference?
A slip. You know,
10 years.
For me, 31 and 41 were about the same year. I was just as not alive.
Pearl Harbor happened twice, actually. It was December 7th, 1931.
Well, I was looking up the details, and I went to IMDb and was just flipping through, and I grabbed the first one that I saw, because I figured, you know, what the heck? The seminal film is from 1931, right? No, 41. 31 was done first. There was something else, you know.
Chronologically, that would make sense anyway.
Crappy actors. And then they did the bogey one.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, upon watching these things again, a couple things occurred to me. First of all, A, did anyone ever really talk like that?
Everyone wore hats.
Everyone wore hats. And everyone smoked, apparently.
Everyone wore smoking hats.
Well, and the strange irony here is, I mean, there were at least two instances in The Maltese Falcon where, in a scene, Bogey rolled a cigarette. He actually put the tobacco in the thing, he licked the edge, and he rolled it and started smoking it, actually live in a scene. And then I went and looked up what he died of, and he died of throat cancer.
Well, there you go.
So, I mean, there you go, is right.
And Lauren Bacall, what's her name? Why are you shaking your head?
It wasn't Lauren Bacall.
Why are you shaking your head?
Well, continue what you were going to say.
What's her name, then?
I don't remember her name. Which film are we talking about? Maltese Falcon again?
No, I'm not talking about in the film. I'm talking about his real-life woman.
Oh, okay.
Lauren Bacall.
Oh, isn't she a little young for him? Isn't she?
She was like 19 or something when she was starring in a film with him, and I think it was The Big Sleep. But she's like, sounds like a man now. I think she just died, or she didn't die. She
Brenda Vaccaro. Hello, this is Brenda Vaccaro.
I think she was in. She was in one of the. I think she was in one of the Sopranos episodes. One of the later Sopranos episodes.
That was the episode where they were getting schwag.
That's right. And she punches the guy in the face.
Ben Kingsley was there too.
And then
Christopher like stole her swag or something, didn't he? It's like he knocked her over.
Punched her. But yeah, I mean. You know why she sounds that way, because she's probably been smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day since 1931 when they made the first film.
I work with a woman, no names, and she's probably the most prolific smoker in the building in terms of quantity.
Prolific butt producer.
Yeah, and her voice is very, very raspy. Otherwise, she's really nice, she's really attractive, but you put a cigarette in her mouth and it all goes away. Suddenly, not attractive. At least not to me. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people in the world.
Smoke streaming out of her nose.
It's very sexy.
Right.
You know, and not that
like
we're
faces
kicking
on fire.
Not that we're kicking the smokers here, because you know what? We love all of humanity.
That's right. And I used to be a smoker.
John is a recovering smoker. What are we drinking today? I guess I'll tell us what we're drinking today.
Product of Hershey, Pennsylvania.
We're drinking Viña Chocolan. It's a Chilean Carmenere, 2005. And I must say that the name Chocolan caught my ear and my eye, I guess, when I was given this as a gift from my friend Donna at Christmas time. Thank you, Donna. And I was, you know, only in my wildest of imaginations did I imagine, I guess that's redundant, that there would be a cocoa chocolate-like flavor to this wine. I thought it was just a clever name. And yet, despite the fact that the label lists no cocoa beans having been killed in the making of this wine, it has a chocolate flavor to it. It's actually sort of interesting.
Well, it says here on the label that it's very round tannins, distinctively suggesting black pepper, chili peppers, dried grasses, and large animal manure. Oh, I'm sorry, that last part is...
I think you made up that last part. But am I right or wrong that the bouquet and the flavor of this is... cocoa-y. It's got a little cocoa bitterness to it. And I'm wondering if the winemakers were able to coax that flavor by, you know, some sort of blend, wine blend, or were they able to coax that flavor with some sort of...
animal husbandry?
Martucci brothers. Were they able to coax the flavor out of this with a little, you know, perhaps a little cross-pollination between the cocoa bean and the grape? I don't know.
I think there's lasers involved somewhere.
Was Willy Wonka involved in the making of this wine? Were there little guys with green hair and orange faces going around?
No, I think that the best part would be if we wrapped the bottle in aluminum foil and had a little tag sticking out the top.
Right? Yeah, that's right. You know, speaking of the Oompa Loompas, I was on my way home from going out like 3 years ago or something like that, and there was a song being played, you know, the Oompa Loompa, mm-hmm. doopity-doo, if you were wise, you'd listen to you, or whatever it is. And it's a record by, who's the New Orleans guy? He's an actor, too. He goes through airports with handguns and gets caught. He was on Cheers.
Billy Smiths.
What?
Billy Dee Williams.
No.
Jimmy
no,
Smith.
No. You know who I mean, right? The New Orleans band leader. Good looking guy.
Harry Connick
put out.
He got tagged for gun possession?
Oh, yeah. He got caught with a gun in an airport like 6 years ago or something.
What is he, out of his mind?
He is out of his mind. Well, this was pre 9/11. I mean, you know, so actually, It might have been post. It might have been post.
That's what I'm saying. Six years ago was not pre 9/11.
We'll look it up after the show. But anyway, he did a record of sort of jazzy versions of sort of movie music. And I'm listening to one of the jazz stations from Syracuse at like 2 a.m. driving home from a night out. And all of a sudden I hear Oompa Loom, and it's Harry Connick doing sort of a jazz version of songs from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And it was great.
He's a talented guy.
He is a talented guy, and he's a pretty good actor, too, and I'm going to have to find this record. Anyway, we don't want to run long, so enough with this intro stuff. We got a tune, do we? Yeah?
It is a tune.
We got a tune? We going to play a tune?
I'm playing it.
All right, check it out. Of weird stereo stuff going on in there.
Was it?
It was very Pink Floyd, don't you think?
Well, without the...
Us.
Yeah, without
us.
The vocals.
Wait, I can do that better. Us.
You're annoying the hell out of people now.
Right.
Primarily the guy across from you, but...
Yeah, that's my job.
It's your job?
Job description. When I applied for this job... Oh, wait. We created this job. But I'm pretty sure that when I applied for it, one of the requirements was must be able to annoy the guy across from you and have red suit and shoes, I think, was the other thing.
Must be. Well, when you wrote the description, you mean?
And I applied and wrote the description at the same time.
That's right. I said, what do you want this job to be? Write it up and be it.
That was our good friend Todd Madsen from Mad Sound Studios in the Twin Cities area. And what is the one thing he has in common with us immediately?
He's not getting paid for the thing he loves.
Okay, that would be one of them. The other thing that he has in common with us is that he ran a Citadel bulletin board in the 80s. And John and
Cyborg.
Cyborg. And John and I each ran a Citadel bulletin board as well. John's was the down tube, I think.
Yeah, that was one of them.
Mine was chaos. What was your other one?
I don't know. Dead zone, I think I had one of those.
You had the dead drone?
I had the dead drone.
You know what? We're going to go to the meat, the beef.
we hit the bun already, now we're going to the beef?
We're going to the bone. Going right down to the bone with this one, and this is John's idea, and since I didn't get a lot of sleep last night, we're just going to let John fly with this. He's going to just run with this.
And
all
this
right,
is,
so,
this is a non-prepared monologue.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hopefully it's not a monologue.
Ladies and gentlemen. We bring you...
Today, I feel like I'm the luckiest man alive.
That's right.
You know, the thing that...
Ask not what you can do for you. Whatever.
Don't even start.
Well, before the decade is out, John Tallarico will declare...
Well, you know, I'm not going to talk about this because it's easy. I'm going to talk about it because it's hard.
That's right. And you know what a hod is? A hod is something that you put brick and mortar in, and then they lift, like if you're doing masonry work.
Really?
You know, like up. So what they do is they put the brick and the mortar in a hod, and then they raise it up to like the second floor wherever you're working. And this is an old masonry joke, and it's something like, you know, always wear a safety harness if you got a hod on. Anyway. I heard somebody say that on The Tonight Show.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah, blame
it
all on The Tonight Show.
It's all about The Tonight Show tonight.
Well, yeah. Well, last time we were actually together.
Yes!
I don't want to say it was last week because it was several weeks ago. But we talked about pet peeves, and one of my pet peeves was hypocrisy. And I didn't want to even call it a pet peeve because it's such an important thing. It's such a substantive
thing. Being a hypocrite,
thing.
Very important.
No, I mean, hypocrisy is not just a little annoyance, which I think a pet peeve is, really. It's a daily or I don't know, an annoyance that gets you in particular. But hypocrisy is something that really hurts us all. And I was thinking about it because I heard a news story about a contract for a new in-flight or in-air refueling vehicle for the Air Force. They had put out to bid, because I think it's, you know, by law, the Air Force has to put out to bid for a new vehicle. They were using old DC-type aircraft, and they would fill them up with fuel and put a hose out and fill up an aircraft. But they want to get something new and you know, schwanky. So they put the
schwanky.
That's right. So they put the bid out, and they got, I think, three vendors. One of them was being Boeing, you know, up in Seattle-ish.
I've been there, actually. Everett, Washington is technically where their facility is, and I took a tour of it back in the 80s, actually.
Then there was Northrop Grumman, which I think is somewhere also in the United States.
Lockheed Martin, or more lovingly known as Lockmart.
Lockmart. I don't think that they were in for the bid.
No, they weren't?
No. But the other one was Airbus.
Airbus, the European concern.
Right, the European, I think it's primarily French consortium of, and they've been eating Boeing's lunch for quite some time with a lot of these big aircraft contracts.
The French love the PB&J, I'm told.
Right. They put it in a croissant, though. But the... But anyways, Airbus won the contract. You know, lo and behold, Airbus won the contract.
You know about those French always going down.
And I don't have... What?
And
I don't
have, it's a line from the Jerky Boys, I think.
And I don't have a problem with them winning the contract. You know, they put the contract out for a vehicle. They met all the criteria, and they probably had the best price and best vehicle to fit the need. But what do you think Congress's reaction to this was?
Well, they're upset because it's not an American concern,
well,
I'm sure.
Well, exactly, right. You know, and what bugs me about the whole thing is the Air Force...
You know, I thought you were going to go the Giuliani... Or the... not Giuliani.
Well, I'm getting to that.
I thought you were going to go the New York governor route with it.
This is just one big example of hypocrisy where, you know... Our government in the current administration in particular talks about the high and mighty, all knowing, all powerful free market system. Well, why is it that we've got this free market system, but when we play it with the rest of the world, no, 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 we're going to take our ball and go away. It doesn't work that way. The free market is the free market. And if someone produces a better product at a better price, and this is the thing, that the Air Force generals who made the decision on this one, they were by law required to pick the best one. It doesn't matter who... What are you doing? You're knocking crap over. They were going to be getting in some hot water if they were favoring the American vendors. Where the companies were based has to have nothing to do with doing it or with selecting the contract. And in particular,
I do it is very important to me.
if they had a problem with Airbus winning the contract, they shouldn't have let him in the first place.
Let's exclude the damn French.
No. But we'll give the French the token foreigner slot in this bid, and then wait a minute, they had the best
won.
Product.
No.
So hypocrisy. If someone just does this whole do as I say, not as I do thing, it's really an annoyance. But when we're talking about government, large government hypocrisy, this affects a lot of us, because if they overturn this contract, we're paying us, this is us, not the Air Force,
the collective
us.
By that you mean the taxpayers
of the United States. We're paying
of America
for an inferior product just because it's American. Why is that? Well, because people don't like their egos being slapped around a little bit.
Well, it goes beyond that, too. I mean, we're all for democracy until a foreign country in South America or Europe elects democratically someone on the Communist Party or something like that.
Well, and this is another example that I wanted to bring up. Way back when, this was,
When was that, exactly?
I think it was last year.
Well, that's way back when?
My memory is this big.
That's
so true.
Well, that's not the only thing that's that big. John was just showing about a half inch between it. Never mind. This is a PG thing.
You always start it. You always go into the gutter.
I do. On the last show, I said I ordered a TV and it came twice.
You're all over the gutter. You're not even in the gutter.
I am the gutter.
You're the gutter.
It's like a Zen thing. Be the gutter.
So I think last year or maybe the year before even, because my mind is a blank, I'm remembering that the Palestinian leaders, they decided that they're going to have an election to decide who's going to be running the Palestinian parliament or whatever their system of government is. But they had a democratic election. And unfortunately for
us... Which means they used electronic voting machines that had all sorts of bugs in the code.
No, which means that people went and stuck their thumb in ink or something like that. But they elected, and you can say anything you want about whether you think the election was fair or proper, or there was any voting fraud, which that never happens here. There was a democratic election, and Hamas.
John slyly says, tongue in cheek.
There was Hamas, the group that we labeled as a terrorist organization, and I'm not denying that they whatever they've done, they may be.
Nor are you endorsing it.
I'm not endorsing it. But the thing is, they won most of the prominent seats in the parliament.
That would be called democracy.
Right. But we didn't like that. We were saying we're not going to recognize that government because it wasn't what we wanted.
And what does that mean? If we're out, at a club and they walk by.
I do not see them.
I don't recognize them. Who is that?
Never seen them.
I mean, it was like the first time I saw
you. I don't know them.
It was like the first time I saw you in many years. We ran into each other in Lowe's and you had a small child over your shoulders and a goatee. And John said, "Rich." And I was thinking, who is this guy? Because the way my brain processes things...
And they punched him in the crotch, and then he remembered.
Yeah, no, the way my brain processes things is I immediately went to, who do I know with a goatee that has a child? And the last time I saw John, he didn't have a goat, and he didn't have a child. So I had no idea who he was. But anyway, that's another example of me, the beard and the child. Man, I'm just striking out today.
You're completely admitting to the fact that your powers of observation are woefully inadequate.
One more thing. Actually, I have very good powers of observation. It's just they're very
weak.
No, what's the word I'm looking for? Bore?
Lame? Crappy?
No, I have great powers of observation.
Thin.
Yet at the same time, they're very they're not very wide.
Wide, right? So
I always wanted to be a detective. I think I could actually.
And then we had recently another. Institutionalized hypocrisy. Our government, our governor of the United States,
New
York State,
Mario Cuomo,
our governor of
Hugh Carey,
our governor of New York State, Elliot Spitzer. This happened a while ago, so this isn't news, you know.
Well, a while being a month.
I don't think that we ever claim that this is a late-breaking news kind of program anyways, but more like commentary on the news.
Certainly never claimed that.
So Elliot Spitzer was...
Sweetheart.
Was, he basically quit because he found, well, they found evidence that he was with the hookers.
Apparently, they were looking at his banking records, and they had discovered some large withdrawals, if you will, like in the $4,000 range. So they were thinking...
He was shuttling money around.
Yeah, they were thinking bribery, some sort of, you know, nefarious things. And, they weren't even thinking at all that he would be paying hookers for sex. This kind of money. They were thinking bribery, extortion.
Right, because he's a governor.
Ties,
you know,
because he's Italian.
No,
and
he's Jewish.
Okay. They're tied in with the Italians, aren't they? The whole Meyer Lansky and everything else, aren't they?
Exactly.
But anyway, what they ended up finding was, you know, the dial-up porn lines and him hooking up with all these hookers. One of whom was very hot, by the way. I will say that.
Well, that's beside the point.
No.
And
it is the point.
Here's the thing, you know. Okay, I find that... I find the whole hooker thing to be immoral and not right. And
immoral, amoral.
Immoral and
asexual,
and that, well, he might be. And then the thing is, you know, he's the governor, and he's breaking a law. It's still on the books in New York State that,
John,
that
quit squeezing the Charmin.
It's still on the books in New York State that prostitution's illegal. And in fact, in his case, he actually called them up and put her on a train and shipped her to Washington D.C. when he was visiting there. So he's like doing the whole hooker across state lines thing too.
And this just brings me back to an old New York State ad: take the train to the plane, take the train to the... Do you think he ever flew her anywhere?
Probably not, because then there would
then
be
that's
like,
crossing international lines, then and pictures, then MI5 gets involved.
The FAA would have to get involved.
James
and the Air Marshals would have to shoot her.
Oh my God!
So, but
all hell broke loose. So cats and dogs living together.
Here's the punchline: it's not that he's just a lawyer, legal person, leader of the state, and he's breaking state laws. The point is, he made his career. He made his bones, as they say on the street. He made his career by prosecuting... What?
He used his bone.
No. He made his bones. That's what the phrase is. You never watched The Sopranos?
I have seen them all, okay. Actually.
So he made his bones by prosecuting crime rings, and specifically, he was involved in prosecuting organized crime and prostitution. Prostitution rings.
He was prosecuting prostituting.
And maybe he was just scoping out what's the best business plan.
Yeah, I think actually what he was doing was, yeah, he was, you know, oh, you're an 8, never mind, I'm looking for a 10. Oh! Yeah, there you go.
I'm only going to do business with the guys who can get away with it. That's what he did.
No, I'm only going to do the girls I really like, I think is what he was saying.
He was shopping. He wasn't actually doing his job.
Okay, so we've got all these people that are shocked. They're stunned. They're angry that politicians are hypocrites.
Right.
And I'm sitting around going, yeah, okay.
Next.
And I mean, everybody was so incensed about this. And for me, it was like a whatever, right? I mean, yes, he's a hypocrite. Fine. But I mean, I wasn't really expecting anything else. And I saw a lot of this media coverage as no different than covering Britney Spears or Anna Nicole Smith. And obviously, they're two different things. But, you know, when you have hookers involved, it's a little salacious. Ooh, you know, a little titillating. Let's get some pictures of the hooker and a thong G-string. And it's like... Shut up. It's sensational media, regardless of whether or not it's our governor. For me, it's like sensational media. To get into such a high position of power, I think by definition, you have to be a hypocrite. So we're all surprised. Why? Anyway.
I wasn't surprised by it either. And that's what I was kind of sad
about. I saw a look of surprise on your face 1 month ago, mister.
Was it a month ago?
It was surprise.
No, maybe you were just looking at me when I didn't have my facial hair. And you thought it was surprise, but it was actually a lack of facial hair.
No, actually, I think it was before you waxed the hair, the one eyebrow into two, actually. The
Italian, into three.
The monobrow.
No, I've got one in the middle and two on each side.
That's right.
I call it the tri-brow. It's a new phase going around.
It's quite popular.
It's popular with the ladies. No, so I'm thinking, no, I'm not surprised at all. I'm just really disappointed because,
well, yeah,
I thought that our governor, I thought that this guy was, you know, like Elliot Ness, you know, cracking open the casks of bourbon, you know, fighting
with a Thompson submachine
right,
gun,
fighting crime. And I thought that he was a real tough guy,
fighting the good
and
fight.
I thought that he was maybe some bringing back some of that moral high ground to the office. But apparently he was just bringing the ladies to his office.
He was bringing the ladies and the cigars, you know. Well, this isn't the first story of a leader with great power and sexual misconduct.
No, it's not.
Did he use cigars at all? I mean,
and Thomas Jefferson too.
Well, what are you talking about? The slave that he?
I'm just saying that it's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, it's been going on since the beginning of man. I mean, humans are sexual beings. They like sex. Sex feels good. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
Please tell me. Oh, enlighten me, wise one. No, it's...
sex is fun. It feels good. And humans are going to make a beeline for things that feel good and are fun.
And I don't give them a pass because of that, because I still think, okay, yes, sex is fun. Sex feels good. But...
I'm not giving them a pass.
We're human beings. We should have the intellect to you know, do things that are appropriate. Yes,
well,
he
made a commitment to his wife. He should have kept
right,
that commitment.
Right.
I agree with you. I don't have a problem with that. But I just think this kind of salacious, sensational media coverage, again, for me, it's no different than covering Britney Spears or Anna Nicole Smith or any of that crap, you know?
Except for this guy actually, you know, makes laws that we have to live by. Britney Spears, we just have to listen to her music occasionally.
Well, we don't really have to listen to her music, thankfully, actually.
That might be a crime or a punishment for crime pretty soon.
Regardless
of Guantanamo
how many,
Bay,
what
didn't they do that at Gitmo? They played the Britney Spears or heavy metal or something to
frighten
no these guys.
I have no idea what you. That would scare a lot of people.
I think that was one of the torture methods that they listed. As
oh
they
my God! In the name of Allah, stop!
I think they used to play Metallica.
Master of Puppets.
You know, yes. Yeah, I'm just not quite as incensed about this for a couple of reasons. A, I think prostitution should be legal. Okay, I'm going out on a limb.
But it's not right now.
Not in this state, not in this county or whatever, or his county, but in some counties in the great state of, well, the place where you were, actually, Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
So, I mean, I just want to know if you engaged in any of the whorehouses.
No,
you did not. Okay.
No, I did not.
I had to
and
ask.
And I'll go on record.
Where's the Bible?
I don't
have a Bible in this house, Mr. Catholic?
Not in this room.
Oh, well, I'm going to need you to put your hand on that.
Okay.
Actually, she said that, didn't she? I'm going to need you to put your
Gutter Boy.
I'm going to need you to put your hand on that.
You've been listening to Gutter Boy and the other guy.
That could be the name of our show on XM Radio. Gutter Boy and the other guy. Yeah, I'm...
You're Gutter Boy.
I am Gutter Boy, but I'm just not as incensed about this as a lot of people are, you know, because I recognize that you said it comes as no surprise, but for me, apparently, it really comes
and
as
I
no surprise.
And I think that's the saddest thing about this is that we're so used to hypocrisy that we just think it's the normal activity, and that's why a lot of people get away with it. And I think that people should be flogged.
Flogged. Cat of nine tails.
No. Noodles.
Flogged with barilla? Barilla?
No, that's the Spanish. No, Barilla, they should take like a whole thing of angel hair pasta, boil it halfway, whack the guy across the nether regions.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? Make prostitution legal, get rid of the Ten Commandments, and we have no issue here. I mean, that's really what I'm saying. Not that I'm a believer in the Ten Commandments. The Golden Rule, however, I think is a good rule to base one's life on.
That's a whole new show. The whole what's the value of the Ten Commandments? And I think that most of our laws are based on the Ten Commandments.
I give you these 15. No, 10. 10 Commandments.
That's right. I'm going to play some music now.
We should play some music now. This is bad ass.
That's right.
Check it out. Nice track.
That was Kwajibo.
Good find.
Yeah, I got a lot more from them.
Kwajibo.
I've got like a dozen things from them.
What was that called? Apples and Oranges.
Yeah, that pretty much summed it up.
Yeah, it's like Apples and Oranges.
Well, that song had two very distinct pieces.
It had two very distinct flavors.
There was an
flavors.
Apple piece, and there was an orange piece.
It's not like Citrus and Archery, which is one of the themes that our friend Cyborg had to convey in a piece that we played of his Orange Crush like 2 years ago.
Oh, that's right. It's not like Wine and Chocolate.
You have a lot left in your glass, sir.
Well, you didn't give me the straw. You've got the little crazy straw thing on there.
I forgot the crazy
Rich,
straw.
Rich filled up his hat, and he's got the straw coming down from the hat. You know what it says in the hat?
What does it say?
It says, diesel fumes make me horny.
It's Latin. It says, no fat chicks. Right. Actually, that's what the Pope's mitre says. It's quite commonly known.
Anyhow.
So I saw...
You say? What'd you say?
I saw a film called The Savages. And what it has that? One of our best actors in it. And actually one of our best, most underrated...
Tom
actresses.
Cruise?
Yes, Tom Cruise.
Penelope Cruz.
And there was the, I believe, who else was
Vera
in
Cruz.
It? Michael Ironsides. Vera Cruz?
Looking in front of
Vera
the
Coase?
Val Kilmer?
Laura Linney and Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Ah, Laura Linney.
She's great. She's been in a lot of like smaller indie projects.
I'll talk about her next week.
But this film... I don't want to talk about it at length because our show's running long, but Philip Seymour Hoffman has been one of my favorite actors since I saw him in, actually, Patch Adams. There was one particular scene he had with Robin Williams that just blew me away. I mean, the way he humbled himself and the way he acted that, I said, you know, this guy is a rising star. And
his finest role is in Boogie Nights, though.
He was in Boogie Nights, yep. He played... A guy.
A guy in the porn industry.
Yeah, which would basically describes any of the men in that film.
That's right.
Laura Linney and Philip Seymour Hoffman play brother and sister, and they're both struggling with the issue that many Americans struggle with when one has to put a father or mother into an old folks' home. They come from a basically dysfunctional, well, American family, dysfunctional family.
Equal.
Congruent. Same thing. Dysfunctional family, redundant. So they each have, you know, many of their own issues to deal with. Laura Linney's character, for example, is having an affair with a married older man. And Philip Seymour Hoffman's character has been living with a Polish kind of immigrant woman, yet he won't marry her even though he's madly in love with her, and she eventually has to leave because her visa runs out and things like that. But this film deals with all of those kinds of issues that anybody in a dysfunctional family who has to put a father in a nursing home would have to deal with. There's some great performances. I mean, Laura Linney, again, very underrated. We've seen her in a lot of films, and I can't name one at the moment. But nonetheless, she hasn't had that breakthrough role yet, though. You know,
she was in X-Men.
She was in X-Men.
She played one of the stagehands.
She was a grip.
She was a dolly grip, even.
Key grip. However, this may be a good role for her because she's playing across Philip Seymour Hoffman, certainly one of our best actors now, Academy Award winner.
He's got some cachet.
He's got a little cachet. And I really like this film. I thought it was very sweet. I'm not sure what else
Any
to say
nudity?
About this film. Yeah, a small amount of nudity.
If it was
nudity.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, then I'm not seeing the film.
No, we did get to see a little bit of Laura Linney, you know, because there were some scenes where she was sort of being intimate with that older married man. But I really like the performances in this film. Laura Linney, as always, really great. Actually, Philip Seymour Hoffman, as always, really great. Although I didn't like him so much in The Big Lebowski. Dude.
You liked Turturro better, didn't you?
Turturro, when he was like shining his bowling ball.
That's right.
That was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Polishing the ball. You know, I will say this. I'm going to out John.
We're
right
going
now.
Bowling.
I'm going to out John as a bowler right now.
This does not embarrass me.
It should.
I'm going to out Rich as
a non-bowler.
Closet non-bowler.
Oh, I'm out of the closet as a non-bowler.
He's the only Polish guy that I know who doesn't bowl.
Anyway, The Savages, that was the name of this film, directed by Tamara Jenkins. It's a 2007 film, United States of America, rated R, 113 minutes. Again, some great performances. Laura Linney, hopefully this will get her some bigger roles and kind of get her
the exposure. I think she's doing fine.
She is doing fine, but most people wouldn't know her. You and I know her because we see a lot of films that she's in.
She's very recognizable. She's not like one of those hot babes you see who could basically be out of a stamp, you know, hot babe stamp, you know, and they go on the factory floor and maybe a couple of tweaks here, you know, inflate the lips a little bit and she's different, you know. Oh, blonde hair on that one. She's not one of them.
What?
Oh, wait a minute.
I'm so glad somebody did that. You've been listening to another episode of Bloodthirsty Vegetarians.
Brain fart.
No, I didn't. I was going for a comedic response there.
Ah, how'd that work out?
I didn't get any, I don't think.
You got nothing.
I don't think it worked out very well.
Yeah, this is Bloodthirsty Vegetarians. I am John
Tellerico. And I am Rich
Vilgush.
Check us out on the web, www.bloodyveg.com.
Hit the forum. The forum is kind of like a ghost town these days.
It has been very ghost-like.
Bloodyveg.com/forum.
Send us feedback to feedback@bloodyveg.com. And what else? We got anything else?
Don't be hypocrites.
That's a show. Yeah, please don't be hypocrites. And remember, you've been listening to the VIB.